me to again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. Again, I say it so often, but say it sincerely. This is good to get together. So we're glad to have you with us today. And there is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson, you don't have to. But the outline is available for you. The lesson. It's from the text that was read to us this morning. In Hebrews chapter 12, the first four verses, I'm going to highlight a couple phrases from that text that will furnish us the main points of the lesson. It's in the top of your notes, part of the verse. But the Hebrew writer says, therefore, we, that's us. All right? There's something in it for you and me. We also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. All right, that's true. That opening statement. Let us, an obligation on my part, our part, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, considering Him. Well, I ask the question in your notes, what do you do when you feel like quitting? What do you do? Well, the answer is, at least part of the answer is going to be found in our text that was read to us this morning. There was a poem I read last week when considering that are available for you and me, and this lesson kind of adds to that. But that poem is titled, Don't Quit. What do I do when I feel like quitting? Giving up on my faith. Well, this one doesn't answer that, but in life. So when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, your trudging seems all uphill. The funds are low, the debts are high. You want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. So don't give up. Though the pace seems slow, you might succeed with another blow. And often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out. It's the silver tint on the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. Don't quit. That's the lesson. In our lesson this morning, the text puts out three ways from the text. Directional look. Number one, we're going to look at others, people around us. Second, look at ourselves. Let us. Then number three, look to Jesus. But he didn't quit. So let's note each of these in turn. Number one, mentions so great a cloud of witnesses. These witnesses that he has reference to are the heroes of faith that were noted in the previous chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. And they are pictured now as spectators in this vast arena, cheering us on as we run our Christian race. Those who have gone before us. So the Hebrew writer is writing to his audience and says, let's take a look at those people in your past
who he mentions in Hebrews 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered. Verse 5, by faith Enoch had this testimony. By faith Noah prepared an ark. By faith Abraham obeyed. And they're saying, oh, I remember those people. I've heard about them. Read about them. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength. Verse 13, it says, these all died in faith. Oh, let me read that again. These all died in faith. In verse 17, by faith Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith Jacob, dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph gave instructions concerning his bones. Don't leave me in Egypt. Verse 24, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. These all died in faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And then in verse 32, the Hebrew writer says, and what more shall I? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and also of David, and Samuel, and the prophets. Ah. So in our text this morning, he says in chapter 12, verse 1, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And he's saying, he's encouraging his Hebrew audience, when your courage lags, these people, when they're brought to your remembrance, should hear us to continue. And they testify that it's worthwhile to do so. So let's bring it home. Think of people in this congregation that have passed on. But we remember their faith. I mentioned a few names. You wouldn't know the one woman. Of course, you don't know my parents, but Destro and Helen Anderson. Faithful to the end. By faith, they lasted. I think of Christine's parents, Daryl and Wilma Collins. By faith, they stayed to the end. I think of Sharon's mother, Gladys. Her grandmother, Nancy Marcus. Faithful till the end. Think of Kay's parents, J.D. and Aline Mandum. Yes. Oh, steadfast. Faithful. Diana's parents, Jean and Earl Cross. Oh, yeah. They lasted. Didn't give up early. They always walked into the auditorium hand in hand. Think of Bobby's sister and brother-in-law, Dianella Walker. Steadfast to the end. Yeah. Pam's parents, Palmer and Audrey Wilson. Oh, yeah. And her grandmother, Nan Wilson. Well, these go back 40 years. I think of Susan Burchett's mother, Leela, and her aunt, Margaret Ackerman.
Oh, that's right.
Steadfast. Think of Elaine Woody's husband, Buster. Oh, and he walked in the building, he glad-handed everybody. You couldn't get away from him. I think of others that would be included, Frida Elliott, Patty Agbonag, Karen Rambo. You can add members that you remember that would provide for you a hero of faith. When your Christianity begins to lag, consider a cloud of witnesses. Those who have gone before us, by faith, they endure. By faith. Look at them. Second, the author continues, so he says, now let's look at ourselves. All right, now let us. Let's lay aside every weight. The weights are things that hinder our progress. It's like a runner when he's practicing. When it comes time for the race, he takes off the sweat. Get rid of those things that would hinder the race for a successful run. When we lay aside every weight, there's the things that weigh us down, the things that would slow us down in running the race. The things that are not wrong in themselves. Oh no. But they're things that just get in the way. They're things that would impede our progress in Christian living. You lay aside the weight, the things that would have a negative effect on our dedication. Put it aside, lay it aside. It's the things that would make our movement difficult. Lay aside the weight, the things that would hamper us or obstruct us, sabotage us. Lay it aside. Lay aside the weight. The things that would hold us back in our progress. Things that would interfere or hobble or choke us. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. And then the sin. That's an obvious one. We want to lay aside the wrong. The transgressions. We'll certainly lay aside that. But you mentioned the phrase in there. The sin that so easily ensnares us or besets us. What sin that would be. Be the sin that's always close by you. What ensnares you may not ensnare me. You can tell me what your besetting sin is, or the one that always kind of tugs at you, and I say, what? How can that bother you? Doesn't bother me. Well, that's right. So we want to lay, you take, make it personal. I want to lay aside the sin that ensnares me. You lay aside the one that ensnares you. The temptation that is so favorable. The sin that just kind of clings to you, you know. Like that piece of tape on your finger you can't get off. You pull it with this finger, now it's on that one. Yeah, it ensnares us. Lay it aside. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't give sin an easy target. Don't make it easy to be ensnared. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. And then he said, the next one, and let us now. So now that we've laid aside the weight and put aside the sin, let's run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us. Interesting, that word race comes from a Greek word that means agony. Christian life is not always easy, is it? Life isn't always easy. So it takes some effort. Don't quit. Don't falter. Don't give up too soon. No, the Hebrew writer is encouraging us. Look at those who've gone before us. They lasted until the end. Now, take a look at yourself. Let's do the same thing. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, the time of my departure is at hand. Oh, it's getting close. End of my life. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. That's right. I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. I'm not giving up now. I'm too near the end. Be 75, my next birthday. Yeah, just go, wow. Some of you are looking at me and saying, you're just a pup. So look at others. Then look at yourself. Then number three, the last one, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. In the text that was read to us, it gives several phrases that when I consider Him, what I need to consider. When you look and consider Jesus, these thoughts should be in mind. He endured the cross. Oh, that had to hurt. That cross had to hurt. Nails. Thorns. Spear. A scourging that led up to the cross. That had to hurt. He endured. Endured the cross. Another one, next one, he despised the shame. If you were crucified, that was humiliating. Now, you were crucified, that was a shameful way to die. To be put to death. He endured, again, hostility from sinners. There was a verbal attack against him. Now, people may not always appreciate your Christianity or your Christian living. And there may be some persecution. There may be some attack or some ridicule or some mockery. You're living this. Why? Those on the outside won't understand our determination, our perseverance, our endurance. Because they don't share the same love that we have for God and for one another. There'll be things we have to endure. And when those times come, what are you going to do? I'm going to look to Jesus, who endured. The reason is in verse 6, or verse 3. After saying these three things, look at others, look at yourself, look at Jesus. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. I don't want my soul to be discouraged. I'm not going to look at the hardships, the difficulties. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, I'm going to set my affections on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. That's a mic dropping point. Did you get that? I'm going to leave it with that. That's the list. So put a circle on that one in your notes. Put a star by it. Exclamation point. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. We do this close up every lesson. A song of invitation. A song of exhortation. A song to give you time to reflect upon your relationship with God. And if your heart's not right with God, you can use this moment to make it right. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a Christian, there's a simple plan or formula or procedure. We outline this almost every time we meet at the close of a lesson. Number one, you need to hear the gospel, the good news. That God so loved the world, that God sent a son. We need to hear that message. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? That's such a great question. How can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So you need to hear. Second, you need to believe it. Believe that God so loved the world. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So, you need to believe the Bible message that God loved the world. Number three, you'll want to repent of your sins. Turn your life around. And I say that because Jesus said it. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, he said, repent or perish. I don't want to perish. I'm going to repent. Turn my life toward God. Number four, you want to confess your... There's only 5 points. Number four is... Don't think there's 12 or 15. Number four is confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Confess your belief. I believe the gospel good news message, the Bible message. God, that you so loved the world, you sent your Son. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That confession of faith. When you make that confession, then you're ready to be baptized. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached to him a good news Jesus' message in Acts chapter 8. He said, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe, you may. The Ethiopian said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And Philip said, stop the chariot. Right now. commanded, the Bible says, he commanded the chariot to stand still. And so with a stop chariot, they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. And they came up out of the water. The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. And you hear me say it all the time. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. Well, that's the invitation. If you're subject to it, not obeying that gospel message, that plan, that procedure already, you have this opportunity. You have the opportunity while you're alive, anytime. 7 days a week. But if you're in that situation right now, if you want to respond in a public way, we can assist you. Let's stand together. That's your resolve, if that's your desire, just come to the front and express it while we're singing this song.